All right. Is everybody having a good summer? Enjoying your summer? Here and there, hopefully. It's been beautiful. Another beautiful, gorgeous day. You get to look out the windows if you get tired of looking up here. Well, welcome to the final message of our Pi Squared series. This is the last one. This is Pi Squared is our strategy for reaching those far from God. And it reminds us of three things. Who knows what those three things are? Shout them out. Pray. Invest, invite. Those are three things we can do for people we know who are far from God. We can pray for them. We can invest in building real friendships. We can invite them to take their next step towards God. And I personally love this process. I love thinking about it this way. I love loving people this way by praying for them, by loving them relationally and being intentional and just seeing what God does, because God does stuff when we do this. God works. Last Sunday, my dad shared with you six different styles of connecting with people because we're all different. You got to see how God uniquely gifted us. We each have different ways of reaching people and loving people, and you got different strengths. And God intends to use you as you are. He wants to use you how He designed you, and to think about the fact that each one of you is one of a kind. There's nobody like you on the planet. You're a masterpiece of God. And so because that's the case, as we talk about reaching people far from God, we're not talking about a cookie-cutter approach. We're not talking about, like, this is your outline and this is exactly how you'd have to do it. There isn't just one way to connect with people. There's 7.5 billion ways to connect with people. So God wants to use what He's wired into us, one, to bless each other, and two, to reach people who help people who are far from God find their way back to Him. And that's part of what God's left us here to do. So if you weren't here maybe, or you didn't get to see that evangelism styles questionnaire, there are more in the back. And I just encourage you to fill that out to kind of see, this is me. Yeah, that fits. That makes sense. Because there are also handouts that go with each one. If your style is interpersonal, you just love relationships and getting to know people, it's going to tell you some things about yourself, and it's going to give you some cautions. Watch out for this. Be careful of this, because we each have different strengths and weaknesses. So this is kind of helpful for just kind of looking at, okay, yeah, that's me, and because that's me, I can think about these things. So there are papers for you as you fill that out and figure out what your style is. They're on the back in between the information table and the offering and that offering box and stuff. So go ahead and grab that and fill that out. I think that might encourage you. That might be helpful. Today we talk about the last part of the Pi Squared process. Today we talk about invite. Invite can mean a lot of different things. Depends on where people are at in their walk, in their journey. If you have a friend who's a total atheist, invite's going to mean something different than somebody who has a lot of spiritual questions and they're just hungry and they want to know. The atheist friend, invite might be sharing a YouTube clip from Ravi Zacharias, because he just is really good at defending our faith from an intellectual perspective. And if they have all these questions and these are all the logical, intellectual reasons why you can't believe in God, well, Ravi Zacharias might be a little better than you or me at explaining some of those things. So that could be an invite. If you know somebody who recently got divorced and they're just struggling and they're lonely, invite could simply be, hey, come hang out with us. Come to a Sunday service. Come to a swap night. Come to a thing and be with us. Or if they're asking spiritual questions, it might mean, say, hey, let's walk through the Gospel of John together. You read a chapter, I'll read it, we'll get together and talk about it. And you're relating. So there's a wide spectrum of what invite can be. We're not going to talk about the spectrum. We're going to talk about one aspect of invite. One small part of invite, and we're talking about the ultimate invite. When your friend comes to you and says, I want what you have. I see something different in you, and I want that. Because they've come into a crisis, or you've had interactions, and they're at that point where they're ready. They just want to become a Christian. How many of you experienced that? You've had somebody come to you like that. It doesn't happen all the time, right? But when it does, that's awesome. And I want to be ready when something like that happens. Because if we're praying and if we're investing in people, we should expect that to happen at some point. At some point, God's going to do that. So that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about when that person is ready to go from being far from God to close to God, from unforgiven to forgiven, from outside of the faith to part of the family of God. When God brings somebody to that point, he wants to use us to help them cross that line. So that's the invite we're talking about. There's nothing like being part of that. And maybe you've been part of that with one of your kids. You know, one of your kids, you know, they understood and they want to make it personal. They finally get it. That's exciting. Or somebody you've been loving and reaching out to and praying for, when they're ready, I will never forget when my friend Dave got to that point. I've been friends with him for years. I met him at the bank, and we just interacted every so often. And from the beginning, he was just really clear. I don't believe in Jesus. He's not the Son of God. He just said it that flat out. And just through years, he got to the point where it was time and he was ready. He wanted to read more about Jesus. And he read this stuff and we talked about it. And he came to me and said, "You're right. Liar, lunatic, or Lord, Jesus is Lord." And man, I tell you what, that's exciting when somebody you know and you care about gets to that point. I've seen three different people at Solo Labs just transformed by the power of God over the years that I've been chaplain there. So I've been at that place. I've been there with my kids when they start to really get it. Man, that's pretty sweet. Pretty sweet place to be. So if you haven't experienced that yet, which when I was in college, I could say I've never experienced that yet. If you haven't, God wants you to be part of that process with somebody. I can say that for sure. I know that he does. And so our purpose today is to kind of equip you for the day God wants to give you that amazing gift and that incredible opportunity and privilege. So if you happen to be here today or you're listening online and you're not yet even a follower of Jesus trying to figure this stuff out and still trying to make your way, you're off the hook. You're off the hook today. You can sit back and just kind of listen to some of the stuff that we think is the most important stuff in the world. So just sit back and listen, and that's fine, because this is some stuff we feel is really important. Some of it's really basic, so a lot of you know some of this stuff, but you might not feel ready to share it with somebody in a clear way. So I believe most of us here are followers of Jesus, and so you have been praying. We've been going through this series. You've been praying. You've been investing in people, and you're ready to invite. Would love to do that. You've been praying. You've been asking God for opportunities, for boldness, for clarity. These are things that we're asking God, so we're ready when God opens the door. And I just want you to think about this question right now. When that moment happens, when one of your friends comes to you and says, "How can I get the kind of faith you have?" Do you know what you're going to say? Not that you have to have all the words laid out, but you have an idea. You have some kind of an idea rather than just like a, whoa, God, okay. Because, I mean, does the Holy Spirit want to give you the words? Yes, he wants to give you the words, but he wants you to be prepared for that day too. So that's what we're gonna do our part to prepare ourselves for that day and then let God do his part. So I do believe as we're praying, investing, inviting, praying for opportunities, boldness, clarity, God wants to answer those prayers. These aren't just like dead prayers. These are the kind of prayers God wants to answer, so we want to expect him to do it. And so I want this to be a very real, very not just a hypothetical kind of idea. I want this to be very real. So I want there to be names attached to people you care about. So many of you have people that you're praying for. So I want you to think about this. Who are the people you most would love for them to come to you and say, "How can I have what you have?" Who are those? Hopefully they're on your pi squared list already. You're praying for them. But who are those people, one or two people that, man, I would love for them to come to me with that question. That would be so amazing. You got people in mind? It might be family members or just somebody you've loved for a really long time. I want it to be very real. So I want to just invite you right now to grab a piece of chalk, like stand up out of your seat, come up here, and just write their first name. And you can write your name next to it. You don't have to put your name, like if you want to be anonymous and nobody, but these are two for me. So there are four pieces of chalk. So just if there are people that you would love for God to answer that prayer, just get up right now, come to the chalkboard, and write one or two first names on the board. And just we're going to have those up there to look at and think about. These are people. These are real people. These are the people that it would make your month if they came to you with that question. It might seem like the most unlikely thing in the world. They would never do it. There's not a chance. It would make your month if they came to you with that question. I think when we think about those specific people and think about them coming to you with that question, that's exciting, but it's also terrifying. Does anybody have a little bit of fear associated with that? If they ask me that question, I might have a little bit of nervousness, a little bit of anxiety. They come to me with that question. Anybody? Just me? A little bit? I mean, you can be honest about that. I think some of us would, if that question was popped to us, you know, you might have a little bit of nervousness. Man, I don't want to mess up this moment. I don't want to miss something really important that they need to know, or I don't want to just keep talking and talking and talking and lose them, right? So this morning we get to think about, all right, God, prepare me for that. We're putting seeds in the soil. We're praying. We're investing in people, and we're expecting God to do something. And so this is a time to think about really the clarity part of opportunity, boldness, and clarity. Like I want to be able to speak clearly the good news about Jesus. So we're just kind of whittle down the gospel to right here. What are the most important things a person needs to know and do to begin to follow Jesus and experience new life through him? What are the most important things? Because sometimes you get this opportunity, you just talk and talk and talk about all kinds of aspects of this is what it means to be a Christian, but there are certain things that they need. So there's kind of a main outline to this message, and it's broad, it's general, and this can be helpful for you in your thinking. No one conversation is going to be identical to the next, because people are people, so they have different questions. We don't have to be able to answer all the questions, but we do have to be able to share clearly. This is how a person goes from far from God to near to God. So the main outline of what I'm going to share with you today comes from another pastor that I just met a couple weeks ago. His name is Dan White, and he's part of the pastoral team at Parker Hill Church, which is where Brian and Sarah went for a while when they were up in Clark Summit, where Don McCall, our consultant, is a member. So they're doing some solid things, and Dan shared a message connected to these pi-squared ideas that just shared the simple outline of the gospel that I found really helpful and easy to remember. So I just want to share it with you. So some of what I share, you could find online and listen to somewhere else. But I found it really helpful, so I want to share it with you. And it helped me. Maybe it'll help take some of the pressure off of you. Like, I got to remember this. It'll make it more simple, I think. Got a lot of names on this board. Wow. I'm just going to angle it a little bit so I can see. Can you still see? Kind of. Abby can still see. A lot of people we really care about. If you think about Christianity as a house, it's this house full of blessings, full of wonder. There are feasts to be enjoyed in the kitchen. There are friendships to be found in the living room. There's knowledge and wisdom to be explored in the library. This is a great house, and we've been brought into that house. You think about your friend who's asking that question. What does your friend most need to know about the house? Anybody? Where the door is. How do I get in? How do I get into this house? Is that what you said, John? Did you say that? That's what they most need to know. They already know some things about the house because they've been watching you, you've had conversations already. They already know a little bit about the house enough that they know they want to get in. That's what they need to know. How do I get in? The gospel is the door. The gospel is the door to get into the house. That's what they need most when they're asking that question. This is the gospel. Romans 1:16 says the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God. So as you're thinking and that nervousness, whatever part of, if you're 100% nervous or just 1% nervous, The nervousness, the power of God is not in you. It's not in your presentation and your convincing arguments. The power's in the message. So that can take some of the pressure off. It's not about how well I can convince someone. God wants to use you in the process, but the power's in the message. The gospel is the door. So our goal as we talk about this isn't to share the gospel perfectly. I don't think that exists. There is no perfect sharing the gospel, but we can share it clearly. That's our goal. That's where we want to end up. And there is one verse in the Bible that shares the message of the gospel so clearly. It's become the most popular verse in the whole Bible. It's the one you see at football games, put up on a banner. It's probably, as a kid, if you were a Christian early on, it's probably the first Bible verse you ever memorized. Most famous, most popular verse in the whole Bible. What is it? John 3:16. Who's the wise guy? Jesus wept. John 3:16. This is the verse that has the gospel just compact, clear, concise. It's a beautiful summary of the gospel. So I want to encourage you to open your Bible there, even if you have it memorized. Open your app, your Bible, whatever you have to look at Scripture. Open it up. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. New Testament, fourth book of the New Testament. John 3:16. You might want to mark this as we talk. Mark's different parts of it. But just some context, what's going on in this chapter. Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus with spiritual questions. He wants to know. And Nicodemus, who's one of the spiritual elite, he already knows the scriptures backward and forward. And he comes to Jesus. He says, what's going on? We know you came from God. Nobody can do miracles like you do. And so he's the spiritual elite already. Very religious man, very religious. And look at how the conversation begins. John 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who's come from God. No one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Jesus uses this phrase, born again, this weird, confusing, like, why does he say it that way phrase? Confuses Nicodemus. Nicodemus is like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm supposed to climb back in? Really? That's weird. But this is the phrase Jesus used. What does born again mean? If you had to describe it to somebody, what does it mean to be born again? The Bible has a lot of different ways to describe what he's talking about here, and you can find it all over the place in Scripture. It talks about becoming a child of God, talks about salvation, forgiveness, being adopted, becoming citizens, being redeemed. All those things are talking about the same thing, and what they're talking about is a change in our relationship with God. To be born again means there's a change in your relationship with God. It's not about how much more knowledge you have. Something happens in your relationship. It's a major shift from where we are, far from God, to where God wants to bring us close to him. So born again, he said to Nicodemus, spiritual elite, you must be born again. What's up with that? He's already in. He's already in the in crowd. Religiously. So they continue their conversation, and when you get to verse 16, Jesus gives this one verse summary that just so beautifully captures what we need to know and what we need to do to experience that change in our relationship with God. And so if you're here and you've already been here, you are a follower of God, you're thinking about this in terms of how can I share this clearly? If you're still figuring it out, this is the essence of the gospel to think about. This is what means the most. This is what has changed our lives the most. So this verse, because Jesus captured it so clearly and so beautifully, this has become the most well-known, the most widely proclaimed verse in the whole Bible. So look at it, verse 16. And you're going to have to look at it again. If you're really familiar with this, you have to like try to back up and look at it again, because I've known this verse for a really, 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 really long time. And maybe you have too. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And as you think about that scripture, that one verse. Okay. Sorry, my computer wants to update now. There may be some spiritual dynamics going on when computers try to update, when they don't. So this one verse, there are four parts to this verse, if you look at it, and it boils down to two things that we need to know about God and two things we need to do. Two things that we get to do. And this is the door. This is the door that gets you in. And so you look at it. God so loved the world. The first part, God loved. God loved. This is where you start with somebody. I want what you have. Here's what you need to know. God loves us a lot. God so loved the world, like everybody in it, you specifically. God loves you. He knows everything about you. He was there when you were born. He knows every detail about your life. You got a chromosomal defect, he knows about that. He's got that. He knows everything, like all your strengths, all your weaknesses, all the things from your past, the hurts that you've been through, the victories, the ways you're going to succeed, the things you're going to do in your life. He knows everything. And you know what? He knows your failures. And you can go back and look at all the ways you failed. All the things that you would think would kind of repulse God. Everything. Some of us have made some big failures. Some of us have made some small ones. But he knows all of them. All of them. Every person you hurt. Every act of disrespect or disobedience to your parent or a boss. Every thought of revenge towards someone who hurts you. Every lustful thought, every lustful action that you've given into, jealousy, greed, he knows all of it. And you know your failures. You know you may not be thinking of all of them, that's fine, but God knows every wart that you and I have. He knows all of our messes, and you would think that would say, ugh, like you stink. But knowing all of that, he chose to move toward us. God loved us so much that he gave. He moved toward us. What did he give? He gave us his Son. God loved God gave. What's that all about? You know, people that are not familiar with the Bible, they don't know what it means that he gave his Son. Why did he have to give his Son? Because of our failures, right? Our sin is kind of like a credit card. Okay, so think about that. Every time I snap at my daughter, I get frustrated, irritated with my son. I swipe the card. I'm accumulating a balance. Every time I allow worry to control me or I entertain a lustful thought, I swipe the card. When I avoid doing what I know God wants me to do, swipe. And all through our lives, we're swiping, swipe, swipe. Sometimes it's by accident. Ooh, really shouldn't have done that. Other times it's on purpose. I did that on purpose. I don't care. Swipe, swipe, swipe. And day after day after day after day, my sins are racking up this debt. And one day that debt is going to be collected. I'm going to have to pay off that bill. And that's how it works. That's justice, right? I need to pay for that. That's how God works. But here's the crazy thing that God does. Instead of coming at us to collect our debt and give us the punishment that we deserve for our wrongs, God does something completely different. completely different. So this is kind of how we think about God sometimes. Sometimes we think about God coming after us to punish us. We've done something wrong. He's going to get us. He's going to get us because we deserve it. And our thinking goes something like this. You and I are like a kid playing in a yard. We're in the front yard. We're having a good time playing in the grass. Dad's sitting up on the porch reading a paper. And there's basically one rule: stay in the yard. Stay in the yard. There's a gate, there's a fence, and there's the road, and there's a whole wide world out there. And you're playing, and for a while you're content, but then you realize, you know, there's stuff out there that I want to see. You just kind of start inching your way towards the gate. And Dad's got the newspaper, and he looks over, he notices, don't forget, stay in the yard, stay in the yard. And you start thinking, what's he trying to keep from me? There's stuff out there, and you look over the gate, and you see a tree, other side of the road, perfect climbing tree. Maybe you're like me, you know, most of you guys love to climb trees, right? Maybe not anymore, but I still do. So there's this incredible tree, like I can reach that first limb, and it's just perfect. So you're kind of moving towards the gate. You go through the gate. Dad calls out, come back here. You can't be over there. You're like, no way. You are not stopping me. And so you keep going. Dad looks at the top of the hill and sees a cement truck cresting the hill, coming down, and he can see what you can't see. Your paths are going to collide. And so Dad stands up, and he calls out again, and he starts moving towards you. You're like, no way, you're not going to stop me, so you start running. I'm going to that tree. You're not going to stop me. I'll come back later. And so you're running, and now he's running, and the truck is coming, and you step out in the road, and just before the truck comes, Dad gets there, throws you out of the way. Your little body's like rolling across the street, but it's safe, and Dad is pulverized. And that's when you realize he wasn't chasing you to stop you from having fun. He was chasing you because he loves you. And that's why God sent his son, not to try to punish us. You keep reading in that passage, it says we're already condemned. We'd already gotten in trouble. We're already in big trouble. He didn't send Jesus to punish us, but to rescue us. Because we were headed for trouble. We were already in trouble. And he came to pay off our debt and to save us from death. So when Jesus, and these details are not in verse 16, but we know these details and we can share them. Jesus died on a cross. He rose from the dead so he could take your death, the punishment that you should have gotten, and give you life. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. That's what that means. And that's the gospel. That's really good news. It's not how a lot of people think about God. He loves you. That's why he chases us. And those are two things that people need to know. God loved and God gave. So now what do we need to do? What do we need to do? Do you see in the verse? Anybody dare to shout out? What do you think is the first thing we need to do? Believe. That's it. We believe. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. We believe. Now you think about that, and if you have any kind of logical mind at all, you start thinking, this doesn't make sense. This isn't right. That is way too easy. There's no way. There's got to be more. There has to be more to it. There isn't. We believe. Our faith is in Jesus and what he did, not what we do. And people tend to lump Christianity in there with all these other religions in the world, but Christianity is different in this way. Simple way to understand it, the difference between Christianity and basically any other religion in the world, religion is spelled D-O. Some of you have heard this before, maybe. This is important. Religion is spelled D-O. When you have religion, the emphasis is on what you do. Your hope in eternity is dependent on what you do. you have to do. Think of the three major world religions out there. There's Islam. Huge emphasis. You must obey. You must obey. If you obey enough, hopefully you will achieve paradise. That's Islam. People strap bombs to their bodies because they think that's obeying Allah. Hinduism. They've got this cycle of purification, reincarnation, all these failures. We all know we have failures. That's the thing that all of these religions understand, that there's a problem. We've made a mess. There's a big mess in our world, and there's something we got to do. This is what they think. You just got to keep trying. Keep trying. Reincarnation, you come back, and you just keep moving forward until you reach this ultimate stage. But it's very much on what you do. That's going to determine how you come back the next time and when you get to the final stage. Buddhism, follow the four noble truths. And I don't know a whole lot about Buddhism, but it's also this process that you're on this journey, and it's all about what you do. Christianity is different. Are there still things that we do? Yes. There are still things we do. God has given us rules. He's given us expectations. But the difference is we're not dependent on those things to earn our favor with God. Jesus Christ did the work to buy our forgiveness. That's the difference. We don't have favor with God because of the things that we've done. It doesn't work that way. So that's why Christianity is spelled differently. Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E, done. It's done. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish but have eternal life. We believe. And that's hard. That's hard to accept. We would much rather believe in ourselves. We can control that a little bit more. We want to be able to earn our own way. We want to be worthy. So even in Christianity, it's easy for people to fall into this thing where they kind of think they're trusting Jesus, but they're trusting their own rules. The rules of Christianity. I'm trusting that. Maybe come here. Come to church because it's a rule. It's going to earn favor with God. You read your Bible, have devotions, give money, help people. All these things become, I'm doing this. I'm just like all the other world religions. I'm trusting in that. But that's not real Christianity. In real Christianity, all my trust is in what Jesus did. And I need a volunteer because I really want you to really get this, because this is a big issue in Christianity in our country and in our town. There's a lot of different churches in town. A lot of people do not get this. So I need a volunteer. Who's willing to come up here? One person. I need one volunteer. This isn't going to work without one person. Come on, who will do it? You will not be publicly embarrassed, and you will not get a prize. All right, Aaron. We got Aaron. All right, so I want you to see what we're talking about. So I'm on the stool. Okay, you're perfect. Perfect, right there. I'm on this stool, and I'm trusting it to hold me up, right? I mean, I'm trusting this stool. Aaron, I want you to see if you can just pull this stool out from under me. Can you just go ahead and do that? Go ahead. Okay, am I really trusting the stool? Was I trusting the stool? I would have gone down had I really been trusting the stool, right? We should try it again. That was a lot harder, wasn't it? But you did it. Good job. She ate her Wheaties. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you. It's good. She does. It's a lot different when you really are trusting. This is what real trusting in Christ is. But a lot of times, we've got our backup options going on. I have some chairs that I don't trust, that I have to keep my backup options going because I don't know what's going to happen. We threw a chair away this week because it was done. When we're trusting in Christ, a lot of times we're trusting in a bunch of other stuff too. That's not faith. That's not trusting in Jesus. When I believe in Jesus, my full weight is resting on him. Not my rules, not my resolutions, my commitments. I will, rituals that I set up. My confidence is in Jesus Christ. That's believe. And when we believe, in believing Jesus, then the fourth one comes, which is a little bit more passive maybe. We receive. This is the last part of the verse. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves, God gave, we believe, we receive. Jesus says we will not perish in that verse. That's important because that's what we deserve, eternal judgment from God. But through Jesus, we receive eternal life instead. That's pretty good news. That's something we need. So the simple gospel outline from John 3:16, God loved, God gave, we believe, we receive. When I believe in Jesus, I'm going to put my full trust in him. Something changes in my relationship with God. That's what it means to be born again. So when that happens, Jesus isn't just somebody I know about anymore. Now I know him. I know him. I am born again. That means I've entered the door. By believing, I enter the door. I become a child of God. I get to explore the house. I get to see what's in all these rooms. Explore the wonders of God. And it says, I receive eternal life. You have. Now you will have. You have eternal life. So eternal life is something that I get now, and I have it forever. I don't have to wait for it. We have it. You are living in eternal life. And this right here, this is good news. And I think with this one verse, it's not really that hard to explain. To just remember, okay, what's the most popular famous book in the whole verse in the whole Bible, you can probably remember that, and you can open up to that and show them that and show these this is the truth. This is what God has done for us. So I want to just see how well you remember these 4 points. So nobody's looking down, everybody's looking up here. Can we remember 2 things we need to know about God and 2 things we need to do? What's the first thing we need to know about God? God loved. And what's the second thing? What did he do because he loved? He gave. You guys are awesome. This isn't really that complicated, is it? And because he did that, what do we need to do? We believe and then we receive. Isn't that a clear summary of the truth that has changed our lives? I think there's a reason it's a very, very famous, popular verse. Now here's the hard question. Look at those names on the board, or names that did not get written on the board. Do you think you could have that kind of a conversation with someone if God opened up a door for you with somebody you've been praying for? Do you think you could open up John 3:16 and just walk them through that simple outline? This means yes. This means no. If you're not sure, go ahead, give me a no. I'm not sure. Do you think you could walk through that with somebody you really care about? One verse. That's why I liked it when I was listening to that online. It's like, that's simple. There's not this complicated thing. You know, last year we were talking about this and I showed you the bridge illustration. There's a little booklet that walks through, and I really like that. I really like thinking about the bridge. But just one verse. There's so much less to forget. And I think you can have that conversation when the person is ready. Think about those 4 things. Do your pi square friends, the people you're praying for, do they need to know the truth of John 3:16? Do they need to know that? They absolutely. Does Jeff and Barb, do Ruth and Sam, how about Grace, Morgan, Joe, Christina? Look at all these people that you care about. Kim, Rick. Do they need to know that God loves them, that he gave Jesus for them? That they just need to believe. Forget about the D-O. Let's get to the D-O-N-E. And receive that eternal life. They need that. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 says this: how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Now, when he says someone preaching to them, is he talking about me? Is he talking about preachers? That's not what he's talking about, is it? He's just talking about us sharing this good news. This isn't about preachers at all. This is about us being there. You know how many of these people I know? Not very many. Not very many. I know a few. But God has put us in people's lives. And we have a message that is really, really what they need. And this is our job. This is our privilege to be able to share that as God opens doors. So pray for opportunities. Pray. Pray for us. We start with prayer, right? We start with prayer because God has to be working. We cannot make this happen ourselves. God has to be working behind the scenes, and he is. That's the first thing we talked about the first week. The Holy Spirit is working in those, even that don't believe in him yet. The Holy Spirit is working, so God is working. So when he opens the door, I want to be ready. I want to be able. So we pray for boldness. We pray for clarity. John 3:16 is not the only passage in the Bible you can use to share the gospel. It's all over the Bible, but it's a good one, and it's easy to remember. So it's just one we can latch on to. If God opens the door and it makes sense, use it. But maybe you're sitting here listening, or you're listening online, and you're thinking, you're realizing I'm not where I need to be. You're thinking about that stool, thinking, I got backups. I've got backups. I'm not really fully trusting in Jesus. I may look like I am, and this isn't about what other people think. But the reality is you could pull that stool right out from under me right now, and it wouldn't make a difference. Because I'm trusting myself more than I'm trusting Jesus. And I don't know if that's you today. But if it is, today's your day. Because if you're realizing that, the Holy Spirit's working, helping you see that something's wrong with this system. And you're not trusting Christ the way that you need to. So when God helps you see clearly, there's a response for us. That's where we believe. And so you're at that point. Maybe you understand now for the first time, really, really, God loves me. He gave Jesus to me, and I have not been believing like he would want me to. So now's the time. Now's the time to put your full weight on Jesus Christ. And I don't know anybody. Like, I could be talking to my dad for all I know. I mean, I believe he really is. He's been a pastor for a really long time. But you know what? There are pastors who are just like this, not really trusting Jesus. So don't just check it off. Like, if you're confident in your faith, that's great. Praise God for that. I'm not trying to make people wonder, well, I'm really not a Christian. But if you're not sure, if you're not really fully sitting on Christ, Jesus said in John 10, verse 9, I am the door. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Jesus is our hope. And so if that's you, if that's you right now, you need to do business with God. Like, now's the time to do it. It's not time to put that off. So I just want to throw this out there. If I'm talking to you, you need to do business with God. Just pray with me right now. Just pray. And you can use your own words. Maybe you know exactly the words you want to say to him, or you can pray something like this. Let me just give you something to pray if that's where you're at. Jesus, I've been trusting myself far too long, thinking I can be good enough, or maybe despairing because I know I'm not. But I realize now I have not been trusting you, and I want that to change today. I believe you died for me. I believe you paid my debt. Thank you. I'm trusting you now. Forgive me and make me new. I want to become a child of God. I want to follow Jesus. So thank you for your promise of eternal life that starts now and will one day take me into paradise with you. I'm trusting Jesus now. Amen. So whether you're online or whether you're here this morning, if you prayed that prayer and meant it, there's a party in heaven. There's a party in heaven happening right now because you have been born again. And when there's a party in heaven, I like there to be a party on earth too. So, you know, if that's where you're at, I would ask you to do two things today, whether today is July 30th or today is another day in the future because you're online. If that's the case, tell somebody today what God just did in you. Tell somebody about it. Let the party go from heaven to earth so there can be a celebration here. Because if somebody you know who loves Jesus and is following him, if you share that with them, that will make their week. They will be excited. They will be partying with you. So tell somebody here. If you're here at Cornerstone, tell somebody here what God just did. And the second thing, let me know. Let me know. We have a connection card. You can fill that out. You can jot me a note. Before you leave today, let me know. Send me an email. Send me a text. Because we want to support you. If that's a new thing, we don't know. I'm not assuming. I believe many, many of you, if not all of you, are fully sitting on Christ. But if that's not the case, we want to support you. We want to walk with you. Because we're family. And that's what God is doing. I know many of you trusted Jesus a while ago, and now you're thinking about this in terms of, man, I've got some people that I really care about that need this, that I want them to experience that. Wouldn't it be amazing one day when you're in heaven to be surrounded by people who are with you because you prayed for them and you invested in their life, and that day came when they came to you, or the conversation just moved to that place where they said, I need what you have. And you shared John 3:16. You had the courage to open it up and show them what God has done for them. To be in heaven and have somebody or several people there because you did that. That's awesome. I want to be part of that. Some of you, you already got people who are going to be there because of that. Wouldn't it be awesome to have a John 3:16 conversation with somebody you're praying for, and 6 months from now, they're part of this family. They're here, and they're learning. They're babies in the faith, but they're growing. Wouldn't that be awesome? Somebody's name who's on the list right now, you're praying for them, you're pouring into them, and 6 months from now, they're here. They're part of this. Wouldn't that be awesome? Pray, invest, invite. You can do that. You can do that. We can do that. Can't convince anybody yourself, but here's the truth. God can use your mouth and your life to share his message and change somebody's life forever. And he wants to. That's cool. That's really cool. So before we end with next steps, I want to make you an offer. I have an offer that I want to make you, and I'm dead serious about this offer. I mentioned earlier, there are a lot of people on this list I don't know. I want to meet them. I want to meet some of your friends, some of your family members who are far from God right now, because we want to love people together. We want to do this as a team effort. And I'm not looking for notches or have some kind of like beat them over the head with a Bible. I want to meet your friends. So I want to join you in this process. And some of you have shared some of these names already. I'm already praying for them. If you gave them to me, they're getting prayed for every week. If I have those names, some of you haven't given them to me, give me those names. Let me pray for these people. And I want to take the next step. I want to invest in them with you. So here's the idea. This is something that Don, our coach, has done in a previous church he was in. It was really helpful. It was a blessing to him, to his people. And here's the offer. You invite one of your Pi Squared friends over to your place for a meal, a picnic, cookout, game night, hangout of any kind. Invite me to come too. Like, you're not having a huge party. You're just inviting somebody you care about. And me, or if they have kids, maybe you want to invite a couple of my kids along, if that would make sense. But invite them over. Bring me in. Let me get to know them. We're not talking about having an agenda. We're not talking about having a Bible study. I'm not going to bring my biggest Bible and do this with them. I just want to get to know them. And if you know me at all, you know I don't do that. But I do want to be part of this with you. And so, if you are willing, over the next few months, I mean, if all of you say, yeah, let's do that, and this Friday, unfortunately, I'm not omnipresent, I can't do that. But over the next few months, if you think about it, you pray about it, you know what, this could work, this could make sense. Like, yeah, I would like you to meet these people. I'm going to pray for them a whole lot differently if I know them. than if I don't. And if I can be part of investing and just see where God takes it. See where God takes it from there. That's my offer. I want to meet these people. I see Ed is on the list. I don't think it's you, Ed. But there's an Ed on there that I don't know. I want to meet some of these people. So that offer is serious. Shannon, invite me over. John, I know John and Nicole, they can do some mean cooking. So I'm in for that. There's a lot of good cooking going on in this place. So that's my offer. It's a serious offer. Think about it. But imagine what could happen if all of us took Pi Squared seriously. I would love to see what God will do when his work in people's hearts and our work loving people intentionally come together. When that comes together, what he's doing, what we're doing, come together and see what he does. I think it could be pretty exciting. We could have parties down here that are going on in heaven. And that's what we want. That's some of the most awesome stuff that can happen. So this is the end of Pi Squared series. This isn't the end of Pi Squared. So can we all take a next step? Is there a next step for you to take as you think about this? There's a next step for everybody. So what are you going to do with Pi Squared? What are you going to do with it? And I just want to invite you to take the next 60 seconds, look at some of the options that are on the back of your program, and pray. And if God puts something specific on your heart, please write it down. If you're thinking, you know what, this is something I should do, God already brought something to your mind, write it down and put it somewhere you're going to see it again so we can follow up, so we can do something with this. Because this stuff, stuff we're talking about, this is likely to change someone's eternity. That's why I do what I do. That's why we're here. So think about what's your next step for this week. God, we know that you are working. We know you're at work in our world and in people's lives. And God, I just pray, because sometimes we feel like we're so far away from what you're doing. It feels like you're not working sometimes. God, that's honestly how we feel sometimes. But it's not true. We know you're working. And you're working in people's lives, convincing them of what's true, helping them understand their need for you and what Jesus really did. So God, bring us near to what you're doing. Let us be part of it. And let us see great things happen. Give us the courage to take those steps, to speak words that will guide people towards truth, to live a life of love that helps them to see it's real. God, let us celebrate awesome things that you do. Let us have baptisms as new people put their faith in you and want to say, I'm following you with my life. Do your work, God, and help us to be ready for it. In Jesus' name, amen.